So our journey through the book of Revelation, okay? I encourage you to, I mean, we passed the season to for you to, you're not under obligation to read the book of Revelation anymore if you have read it. But if you haven't, please, I challenge you, read it. The more I'm studying it, I'm realizing, man, we're going to spend some time in the book of Revelation. I am not in a hurry. Okay, because I wanna do exactly, do it exactly how the Lord wants us to do it. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the messages that's in the book of Revelation. This is the message from Jesus Christ to prepare the church for Jesus' return. So Lord, today as we speak about the word, we pray that our hearts would be open. Start with me, that your word would rebuke us, correct us, and teach us how to live a godly life. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us so much to give us words that would save us. And all of God's people who say amen. All right, so the title of my message today is Avoiding Compromise. A couple weeks ago, I began to talk about the church, the message to the church of Pergamos. And I'm going to read, I think the verses I want to use from Revelation chapter 2, verse 17, it says, anyone with ears must listen to the Spirit and understand. Now, in this verse, it says, anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he's saying to the churches. You see, now, hearing and understanding, it's two things. Have you ever find yourself in this situation where someone is talking to you and you hear their voice, but you have no idea what they're speaking or what they're talking of? You know? And sometimes we could even hear their voice in the background. You have no idea what they're saying. Or whatever they're saying just go over their head. You know? Or even sometimes you come to church and you hear the sermon and you have no idea what I talked about, you know? But that's why I'm going to keep repeating the same sermon, because most of you won't even remember if I preached that already. It's the same thing with the Word of God. And you ask yourself, why that Jesus, God, allow us to have four books in the New Testament that are gospel-related? Four different perspectives, four different books, pretty much telling us the same story. Anyone with ears to hear must listen and understand what the Spirit is saying. Avoid spiritual compromise. Okay? Now I'm gonna do a it's not necessarily a rabbit trail. This is something I was supposed to do like at the beginning of the messages to the churches. It's the studies, what they call the Bible history of the seven churches. Because when you study the seven churches, it had more to do with just seven local. There were literal local churches, but also from a historical perspective, each churches represent a period of time in church history. And as you read the book of Revelation, this timeline, church history timeline we put together, will also help you to understand each of the letters. So the letters to the seven churches, Revelation, we read those letters from Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, correct? Now let me ask you this, who wrote the book of Revelation? John, the son of Zebedee, or John, the beloved follower of Christ? Okay. Some of you say beloved, but I hope everybody knows. Who wrote the book of Revelation? John, the apostle John. What year was the book of Revelation written? 95. How old was John when he received the revelation from Jesus? About 90 to 95, okay? That's fine. It's safe to say that. Now, the letters to the churches, those are three things we need to take in consideration as we read the letters. First of all, the church were literally existed. The literal existence of the church. You see this map here. I think the next slide, I'm going to have a better map. You remember the rotation I gave you. There it is. Thank you. The literal exists in existence. So those churches, each church was an actual church located in Turkey during the first century. Those churches weren't symbolic. They existed. They went through exactly everything you read in Revelation. There was persecution. I mean, Christians. Remember the message to, I think, to Smyrna during the church, during the season for Smyrna. Nero was torturing Christians. You know what he did? One thing he did, he dumped Christians in oil and used them as torch for the city. So he burned Christians to light up the city. Back then, who would want to be a Christian? Only those God were called. Only those that weren't afraid to lose their physical life. So remember this. The letters to the churches, as we read them, as we go through them, each of the letters, each of the churches were little. And you can see the map. And clockwise, you see where this first map here where it says first, second, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. That was the order the letters had to go to each of the churches. Number two, spiritual irrelevance. Each church addresses spiritual issues relevant to believers today. Similarities in the seven churches, in the letters of the letters to the seven churches. The similarity. Those are the things, I mean, even if you, I put this list, we put this list together, so we wouldn't have time. Maybe in Bible studies, in our home groups, we can literally find them in chapter 2 and chapter 3. But when you read each of the letters, what are you going to see? You're going to see all letters begin with a special title of Jesus as the author. And all are addressed to who? The angel or the pastor of each church. I always ask myself, I don't know how somebody in their right mind would want to be a pastor or in ministry for just a profession. I mean, it is a profession, okay? It is my work. But the responsibility? You're responsible for souls. I can't remember. I mean, I can't tell you. I don't pray this prayer anymore. But there was a time in my life I was just like, Lord, come on. Is there any way out of this? Is there any way? Is there a way? Is there a way to? Is there an exit door? Or is there a retirement? Or is there a time you're like, you know what? I'm done. I quit. Now, if it's a job, you can quit. If it's a career, you can quit. I remember back in 2007, you know, Kendra, she always knew we both had a call to ministry. But I didn't know. I was just living my life. I love Jesus. I was very involved in my church in Florida. I was coming from Haiti from an organization ordination ceremony, and I was on the airplane. I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Ricardo, I want you to go back to Haiti. And at that time, I'm like, what? Come on, I cast you out. Whatever that voice, wherever that voice come, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. What? I mean, I knew. I know the voice of God. I know the voice of my soul as well. I know the voice of my flesh. You should be able to know when your flesh is speaking to you. You should be able to differ from your spirit speaking and your soul speaking. You know what the Bible says? Those two things, they don't go together. So for 2 years, 2007, and then, you know, it wouldn't let me go. Ricardo, this is called, you've called to ministry. You've called to ministry. Long story short, did everything okay, all right, I'm ready. So I'm like, okay, Lord, finally, okay, I get it. I get it. I am going to go for 1 year. At that time, the pastor that was there was very, he was more like an evangelist than a pastor. The church needed pastoral care. So I said, I'm going for 1 year, and then I'm done. You know, because I really like my life in Florida. Some of my friends, even some of my families that lived in New York, New Jersey, when I told them I'm going to go back to Haiti, they thought, what? What are you drinking? what are you talking about? Why would you do that? Why would you do that? That was the question. But Kendra and I, we were called. We were compelled to go. When God called you, that's why those letters were addressed to the leaders of the church. Guess what leads your body? I hope it's your head. I hope you don't just follow. I mean, these 2 feet right here, they have no willpower. They go where my head wants. You see these hands? Bring it on, man. Unless I'm ready to fight up here, there's no fight. The head. All letters were addressed. As I read these letters, I feel more of a burden to pray for pastors. Because responsibility rise and falls to leadership. The atmosphere. You know, we operating under a closed or open heaven depend on me. If I give God space to operate here, guess what? He will. But can you imagine if I start messing around, start having bitterness in my heart, start being, you know, hard or messing around in sin, not dealing with issues in my marriage, having a healthy marriage, having good, healthy relationship with people, if I'm not on my face seeking God's presence. I tell you, was David a good moment Friday night? That was good. I keep watching it in my mind. It was so good. Once again, watching David Friday night remind me why God said he find in David a man after his own heart. Why? Because David wasn't perfect. Oh, he was terrible. Actually, David, he fulfilled everything to be disqualified to be in God's presence. But he repented. He acknowledged, man, I have screwed up. I have screwed up, Jesus. Psalm 51. I got excited again on David. I might be, once I'm done with Revelation, go on preaching on David. It's so good. All the letters were written to the angels and the pastors of the church. It's a great responsibility to be a pastor. It's a huge responsibility to be a worship leader or even to be part of leadership or anything you do, ushers, because I know in church sometimes we put the emphasis on the person that's up front. But when you think about it, when someone walked in here to visit our community, I'm not the first one they see. Guess who they see? Today it would have been Linda. Are you with me? So now can you imagine if Linda's not living? I'm sorry, I don't want to use Linda as an example. Let me say Usher, okay? All right, nobody on the spotlight. So can you imagine if the usher in the church is not welcoming or is just living in sin? And there it is, one day a coworker decided they're going to visit this church and they find out, oh,
You the usher? Hey, I'm not coming in. Well, hang on. You're not the pastor. The usher is not the pastor. That goes to tell you everything rises and falls from leadership. It is my responsibility to stay in the word, listen to what Jesus wants to do, and communicate it. The media team, people that are doing the work of the media, their life should be reflecting the character of Christ. You see, now, from an organization perspective, especially when you struggle for people, churches have a tendency to use whoever, whatever, whoever comes. It can't be in God's house. All the letters from Revelation also begin with Jesus knowing their works and their deeds. So, I always say, you never take the spiritual temperature of a church on Sunday morning. That's not the day you take their, what is it, high blood pressure. The high blood pressure of a church, physical exam of a church, you don't do it on Sunday morning. You know when you do it? Prayer meeting. Prayer meeting. Call for a prayer meeting. Call for a fast. It's not just our church, but it's everywhere. Call for a concert. Call for anything that makes the flesh excited. Let's go to the beach. Oh, pastor, call for 3 days of prayer. What? 3 days? Why? See, right away, the body gets grumpy. Talks about prayer? Why? I don't see why. Why do we need to pray for 3 days? But you fail to understand. There it is. What we fail to understand. I wrote it, and I'm gonna. This wasn't part of my. If I can find it, but I thought it was so powerful. God wants you to know Him intimately, but to know Him intimately takes time. Oh, I heard that on the movie we were watching Friday night. I wrote it down. It's nothing you didn't know. God wants me to know Him intimately. Because He knows my work. He knows my deeds. God knows our church works. He knows your work. He knows your deed. He wants us to know Him corporately, intimately. But how would that happen? If we never give Him time. How would I be your friend if we never take time? How would I be your friend if we never take time? You say, well, pastor, I'd like to be your friend. Me too. But guess what? We're going to have to do something that friends do. Sometimes I just have to do the things you like. I might not like it, but because I like you, we hang out. You know something friends do? Most of the time that creates a bond between them. You know what it is? I know you guys know, but I'll tell you. Nothing. Just hang out. I know some of you are thinking, oh man, what is it? So simple. Hang out. Have you had a hangout with your friend? What do? You do nothing. Just lay down. If one of us want to watch a movie, watch a movie. You want to be intimate with Jesus? You hang out. Hang out with God. In your car. At home. In the sanctuary where no one is. Go for a walk with Him. Jesus knows the church's works and deeds. All messages to the churches contain either a commendation and a complaint. For example, I'm going to just tell you. I'm going to use this example. The message to the church in Pergamos.
It says, write to the messenger, to the angel in Pergamos. Pergamos was a church surrounded by evil influence. That's why they call the church in Pergamos the compromising church. It was a church of the states, also called the church of the states. Why? During Smyrna, there was a lot of persecution against Christians. But in 312, the emperor changed the rule. He's like, okay, Christianity right now is the government's, the state religion. So anyone who is not a Christian, you're going to die. Guess what's going to happen? You're going to have a bunch of Christians. But Christians for what? The word Pergamos came from the Greek gamos, which means married. The church was married to the world. The sermons in the church had a lot to do with do not offense. Let's not rough the waters. You know, you have some big donors here at the church. Let's not challenge them. You don't talk about sin. That's what the guys, that's why the message to the churches is relevant to us today. The message to the church of Pergamos, Jesus' title was Him Who Has the Sharp Two-Edged Sword. I preached on that. What was the commendation? They have not renounced their faith despite the martyrdom of Antipas. Jesus also had a complaint. I just talked about it. They were married to the world. That church weren't sold out after God. It was more, you know what? Let's just have a service. Bring them in. Take them out. Bring the next group in. Bring them out. It's all good. I'm not talking about the mega church. You have some powerful mega church out there. God bless them. But we need to acknowledge there are some churches out there that are not the church of Christ. I'm not judging. It's just a fact. And what was the reward for Pergamos? He says, those who remain victorious, faithful, victorious till the end, they will eat the manna from the throne of God. So all letters also were closed with an illustration to Jesus' second coming. All closed with a special promise and reward to the overcomers. So therefore, this tells us as we read the book of the messages, God does not pay the beginning. You have to remain faithful till the end. Like, man, I know Jesus for 40 years, man. I'm just having a bad season. Well, be careful during this bad season. Because God rewards faithfulness till the end. There's a story in the Bible that talks us about the 10 virgins. You know, they were waiting for the coming of the bridegroom. 5 of them, the Bible calls, they were foolish, and 5 were wise. Those that were wise, what did they do? They had oil? Not only that, man, they think further. They bought extra oil because the bridegroom, they had no idea what time he was coming. He could, I mean, if he came during the day, well, good. It's daylight. But if he came during the night, they have to have extra oil. But there was 5 foolish virgins who just living for the moment, didn't take enough oil. And you all knew what happened. The bride came at a time none of them were expected. So all those, all close with the same challenge. He who has ears, all letters in the book of Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. Now notice, this is more like kind of a teaching, information that you need to know, things that would help you understand the message to the churches. All those things, those are similarities you find in the messages to the churches. Now, when you, I think my next slide talks about the number three, what they call the historical insignificance. Historical insignificance that would lead us to this timeline, timeline of the church, of church history. Let's see if they come up. We're having issues. Okay. Technical difficulties. There it is. Historical insignificance. Each church represents a distinct time period of church history. Now, I want you to understand. This is very simple. Something just like the other time, the other timeline I gave you, and I'll send this out on email to you guys. Something for you to understand. The period for the church in Ephesus, what they call the apostolic church, was 33 to 180. 3380 was when the Holy Spirit came, Pentecostal, to 180 until the death of the last apostle. So that the, when we talk about the church of Ephesus, we're talking about a time period. So when we talk about some of the rebuke Jesus had for the church, you remember? What was it? What was it for Ephesus church? You lost your first love. So during that period of time, that in church history, people, they lost their first love. That makes sense? So when you hear, okay, the church period was 3380 to 180, that's what it means. It means that the church during that time, what time? Pentecost till the last the death of the last apostle. What was Jesus' title for the church in Ephesus? Him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walk among the seven golden lampstands. Right there in Ephesus church, Jesus was reminding the church. He's like, come on, I'm among you. Make room for me. What was the recommendation? The commendation was afflicted, poor, persecuted, yet faithful and rich in the Lord. Complaint? You guys remember what the complaint is? What was the reward? The same thing. The crown of life to unhurt and not getting hurt by the second death. Now, if you go, see now it says Ephesus 33 to 100. You go to church Smyrna. Smyrna was the season, the period for was 100 to 312. During that time, there was a lot of persecution. And I told you earlier, one of the reasons there was persecution, it's because the governor at that time, the emperor at that time, hated the Christians. So he killed the Christians. So there was a lot of Christians were getting murdered, martyred, killed, beheaded. You know, history also said, part of the recommendation doing that for that church, Jesus said, you are afflicted. You are being persecuted. You didn't have much. Why? Because you were on the run all the time. But you are rich in the Lord. That's what I want. I preach about that. That's what I want. I don't want a bunch of stuff. I just want to be rich in Jesus. And then, of course, that takes us to Pergamos Church doing 312 and 680. Now, 312 and 680. Now, you need to remember, you need to know this. During that season, Constantine issued an order that Christianity was the state church. What did I say? State church. Just like there was a time the Catholic Church was the state church. So, right now, Christianity is not the state church in China. It's illegal to be a Christian in China. Mozambique, I don't know if you guys know about that, in Africa. In Mozambique right now, Christians are being persecuted. I watched from the TBN news yesterday, Kendra showed me something. Pastors are being beheaded for their faith. Church, guys, 21st centuries right now, you have Christians that are being killed for their faith. That's why this is no time for us to be playing church. Get ready for the return of Christ.
Get ready. People, get ready.
There's a song like that.
People, get ready. There's a train coming. You don't need no baggage. Get on board. All you need is what? All you need is faith. That's it. And let your faith in the Lord show that your actions. Match your faith with your action. Okay? So, 312 to 680, that's where I'm going to stop today, because I know this is a lot of information and I want to take my time. Amen? Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Jesus, for the book of Revelation, for what you're showing us, showing this each one of us, Lord, as we continue to study it in our home groups and on Sunday morning. I pray, Lord, that your word will continue to come alive and you prepare our hearts for your return in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us stand. We're going to go out with praise. We do one more song, and then you guys can go and have a beautiful day and make it a great week. How about that? Amen.